Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Steele and Eisner podcast, Staying Aligned. My name is Alexander Eisner. I am your host today. We are joined by the incredible pain management doctor and just an all-around good guy, Dr. Trim. Dr. Trim, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the great introduction, and thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely. I think that this is so important. I was just talking to a chiropractor about this podcast just the other day, and he told me that he never misses an episode. He listens to them in the car on his way to work, and he just thinks that what we're doing is really helpful because the way he was describing it it's like I focus so much on my chiropractic role that I don't really know what all else is going on in the world of PI. In pain management and accident reconstruction and biomechanics and what's going on with the insurance adjusters. It was like learning the full picture really helps me understand where I sit in the whole circle. So I think this is super important, and I thank you for taking some time out of your day to join us.
All right, let's get, thank you for having me. So let's get started and get some, people to learn some stuff.
All right, let's do that. So let's start out with pain management. We're gonna do 30,000 feet and then we'll dive in. So talk about pain management as it relates to a alternative to cutting people open or prescribing them opioids or pain medication. You know, I mean, those seem to be like the two ends of the spectrum. You've got the go to your PCP after a car accident, get prescribed an NSAID, and you're on that for a while, and maybe it helps, and maybe you become addicted. And then you've got the, you know, go to the Sawbones and get cut open. And I mean, pain management seems to be this awesome middle ground where you can hypothetically go and get some more than your moderate treatment, right? More than your chiropractic or PI. These are for injuries that aren't responding to those conservative treatments. But we're not quite ready to cut anybody open yet. We want to see if there's something else we can do. So talk about pain management through that lens. How could a chiropractor look at pain management and describe it to a patient who's a little bit hesitant?
Well, I see, you know, as a pain management, it's kind of like the middle guy in a way, in the sense that I always like to see patients start out just conservatively with the chiropractic therapy, the anti-inflammatory, the lifestyle modifications and all stuff. And if patient gets better, that's fantastic. And however, there's some patient, even after some, let's say 4 to 6 weeks of chiropractic therapy, and they're still having some residual pain. And I'm kind of like a little bit of the step up. Yeah, step up in a way that I'm going to offer or provide certain procedures I think that may help the patient get better. And really what the goal would be in the middleman is that so I can avoid or avoid the patient having more extreme procedures, just as surgeries and, you know, laminectomies and the fusions. And in addition to that, you know, speaking about opiates is that, you know, I've been practicing pain medicine for almost 20 years now. And, you know, for the first 10 years, I think some of us were around when this happened, is that a lot of patients were being prescribed a lot of opiates, a lot of narcotics, a lot of benzos, a lot of psycho medications, such as, you know, antidepressant. You got the Provigil, you got the all these medications that, you know, over time we realized that it's not really necessarily the good or the best thing we can do for our patients. So by utilizing some of these minimally invasive procedure, and I say it's around 5-10 minutes, very easy for the patient. The goal is really number one is that, you know, get the patient better. Number two, patient less reliance on opiates, narcotics, benzodiazepine. And number three is that they can avoid possibly any surgery that's necessary so that they can control or alleviate their pain. So those are three things that are very important.
Let me ask you something that comes up kind of a lot, because I hear from a lot of my clients that they're having a consultation with a pain management doctor, and there's some confusion about whether or not the injections that they're going to get or that they have gotten are treating, are therapeutic, or diagnostic. And sometimes they'll say, oh, you know, it helped for a little bit, but then it stopped helping. And the doctors seem to think that was a good thing, or, you know, they tried one set of injections and that didn't work. And then I came back and I tried another set and it did work. And I don't understand what happened. So explain that a little bit, because that seems to be a sticking point, a point of confusion for a lot of my clients.
So when I offer a patient a procedure that I think that may benefit them, I Typically, I explain to them when I'm doing a procedure, my goal is to do two things, really, when I do these procedures. Number one, what we call therapeutic, which means makes the patient feel better. And number two is diagnostic. So if I think, let's say the joints or your facet joints is causing the pain, I do a block around the facet joint and you feel better, it kind of helped me diagnose or diagnostic or kind of help me pinpoint as a reason, the pain generator, the reason why they're having pain. Oftentimes, it's very difficult to kind of differentiate between therapeutic versus diagnostic. So when we do these injections, why I'm there, right? I'd like to do kind of combination of both. I'll add a long-acting agent, hopefully it'll last longer, which could be a therapeutic response, which is like cortisone or another. Sometimes we do natural plant-based. Second thing is when we do these injections, we also kind of help us pinpoint too. Unfortunately, for some patients, the injections are only short-term, but at least it helps us pinpoint where the pain is coming from. And oftentimes, we send time to do a second one or even a third one. And every time we do that, we change up the medication a little bit. The goal is to make it therapeutic, so they don't have to do a third one or a fourth one or something like that. So, yeah, it's really it's about really how the patient responds to each injection. It helps us guide where future directed care should be.
In the diagnostic vein, I mean, once you discover the location, the exact location of the pain, what are your options then? I mean, do you just go back in and put more pain medication in the exact same place, or are you ablating? Are you burning nerves? I mean, what do you do with the information once you're like, okay, we've pinpointed the exact nerve or the exact spot where the pain appears to be emanating from? Now, what do I do with that information?
So basically, we do different types of procedures. And one of the main ones that we do is called a facet nerve block or medial branch nerve block. You guys hear about that. So typically when we see a patient who has a traumatic event, oftentimes they have whiplash, they have joint facet mediate pain in their low back, and we do a nerve block. So basically we put medication around the nerve. And once we isolate the nerve or the joint level that we think it's causing pain, there are different modalities that we can do to try to make the pain relief last longer. And in certain procedure we do, sometimes we offer PRP. Sometimes we offer ablation, which is basically putting a needle into the area where the nerve is sitting at. And we kind of shock it and kind of heat it up a little bit and kind of shock the nerve. Therefore, it doesn't transmit the pain signal to their brain, so they have less sensation of pain. And then that lasts a lot longer.
One time you talked to me about disrupting the pain cycle and how sometimes even just a short-term cessation of the pain, even if it's just I just numbed it up for a second or whatever, can actually disrupt the pain cycle in such a way that it can, when it does come back, if it comes back at all, it's lesser or it can go away entirely. Talk to me about that. I still don't totally understand how that works.
So basically, it's a great point that you bring, because sometimes when we do these diagnostic block, and when patients been experiencing pain, let's say 4 to 6 months, and they just continually have pain, and they have kind of like no break from the pain. Even when we do a diagnostic block with just only local anesthetic, which only lasts around like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that, in some patients we've seen that the pain actually doesn't come back, if it does come back, it's the pain level is not as bad. So basically, by just breaking that pain cycle, that it's just constant pain, the nerve keeps on firing. Once we break it, we just don't know the exact mechanism. But once we break the pain cycle, it's just like patient get that relief. But then when the pain comes back, it's not as bad. So the exact mechanism, we just don't know why.
That's phenomenal. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about chiropractors, because they're really the audience here. And I want to talk a little bit about how you interface with a chiropractor. So in an ideal situation, talk to me about a referral, an ideal referral from a chiropractor. What could they be looking for? And then also, what are you looking for in their referral and in their report that you get when you're looking at their recording?
So when I get a patient referred from a chiropractor, I do an initial assessment. So I look at in terms of when the patient was injured, how long they've had the therapy in terms of chiropractic therapy treatment, what their pain levels are, and what how their response has been. It's always seemed that for me that we are we uh, with the chiropractor or as a team. So I always would recommend that, number one, they would, if I can make an assessment and see if there's anything I can do to make their pain a little bit better. But at the same time, they should always continue with the chiropractic therapy and the treatment so that we work as a team, work as dual modalities, different techniques to try to get patient better together, as opposed to just one technique or just be relying on injection by itself. So in a way, that way, I see that we are just, we're a team.
I lost you there for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think that can you hear me now?
Yeah, so sorry.
Okay. Sorry, so, I don't know how much was captured or not with the reception.
I caught all of it. I just my screen blacked out, but I heard it. So the chiropractor referred you to this case. I don't think I heard you talk too much about what it is that they should be looking for. So if you're a chiropractor, what are you looking for in terms of the referral to send to a pain manager? What kinds of symptomology? What kinds of, how long, they've been treating them without significance, a benefit. I mean, obviously the chiropractic treatment is probably helping some, but when, what kinds of symptoms are you looking for? It's like, okay, yeah, that patient is a good candidate for referral to pain management.
So I think it's important to when you assess a patient that at least patient try the conservative modalities, and being the chiropractic therapy, I think anywhere from after around 4 weeks or so, and the patient is not getting significantly better or getting better but still lingering and still affecting their quality of life, their work, and all that stuff. And you may want to see a different angle. See, maybe we can add another team member to the team to try to get the patient better. And that's a good way, should consider a pain management. So it's always beneficial for the patient that we attack their pain, different modalities, whether it's injection, whether it's chiropractic therapy, whether it's massage therapy or something like that. And I think it provides a better opportunity for the patient to get better.
And then when you see them, I mean, are you referring them after treatment back to the chiropractor, or how does that work in terms of collaborating with the chiropractor after that referral?
I say all the time, most of the time, is that basically I would like the patient to continue chiropractic therapy. In addition to the fact that I would put in my recommendation how I think the patient would benefit additionally in terms of procedure that would help. So I think by continuing chiropractic therapy, by providing some procedures that may benefit the patient, by working together, then I think it'll be a better opportunity for us to get the patient better.
Absolutely. I tend to agree. So looking at sort of the cases that you've had referred to you by chiropractors, I mean, you've certainly done a good amount of reviewing chiropractic records. Is there anything that you're seeing in any of these chiropractic records that's particularly helpful or particularly unhelpful, especially in a PI context, that people listening might benefit from? Hey, I'll pick that up as a tip, or I'll try to avoid doing that in the future. Is there anything that you've noticed that you might offer as a constructive tip?
I would only say think it's important to just document the pain level and their response, whether it's like short term or whether it's long term relief, and what modality that seems to help them the most. And whatever that helps them the most, and I think it'd be important to focus on that to try to get the patient better. That's the only real thing. And of course, documentation is always very, very important in terms of their pain level, pre and post, and their response, increase the range of motion, and all that stuff. So yeah, those, I think documentation, just with chiropractors, like with me, documentation is very, very important. So.
Yeah, of course. That's obviously right over the plate in terms of the chiropractic obligation for document coaching. And I find that a lot of the time they're pretty good about documenting that over time, so that you can see they came in with a 9 out of 10, and then it reduced to an 8 and a 7 and then a 6, and then it's pretty much stayed 6 for 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row. And it's like, oh man, that's pretty good evidence that conservative treatment's not working on whatever this particular body part is. Now, I imagine that you have a lot of patients that are very, I mean, for lack of a better word, scared. You're talking about putting a needle in their spine or in their neck. And they get, and, you know, people get real nervous about it. I hear it all the time from patients who have seen a pain management doctor. And, you know, I believe that they have confidence in the pain management doctor's ability to help them and to potentially, you know, limit their pain. But to put a needle in their back is just a bridge too far, and they're really struggling with that. What do you tell those patients? What do you personally, I'm sure you deal with this every day, but what are you telling them to try to make them understand that, yeah, needle, spinal cords, I get it, these things are scary, but what, I do it every day, and, you know, your pain level could dramatically decrease, excuse me, I mean, this could be a life-changing sort of thing. I mean, what kind of things are you saying that are getting through to those patients?
That's a great question, because it's something I deal with every day in my practice. And I think for me, I think the most important thing for me is that really taking the time to sit down and explain to the patient exactly what you're doing and what you're planning to do, where you want to put the medication, what medication you're putting in. By educating the patient, I think it basically gives them a little relief that to kind of know, to be educated in terms of what we're doing. And I think the most important for me is just spending the time discussing with the patient, explain to the patient, and answer all the questions they may have. And rather, I know we're all very, very busy. Oftentimes, we're very, very busy, which is our recommendation, walk out of the room. My goal is if I'm going to recommend a procedure, I definitely would want to take the time to explain to the patient, have an ample amount of time for them to answer questions. So that's number one. And number two, I think the second thing they worry most is also the medication I'm injecting as well, too. So basically, it's the cortisone. So the cortisone is the one that people, I don't want cortisone. You know, I don't want to get muscles. I don't want to get my mustache. I don't get rid of bones. I don't want any of that stuff. You know? So I try to ease patient by two ways when I discuss with them in terms of cortisone. Number one, I try to use a different analogy in life so that they can understand what cortisone is. So I always tell patients, this is a line I use very common in my practice, that cortisone is like beer. And I always say, apologize for such a bad analogy. But beer is basically, if you're a young, healthy person, or even a middle-aged person, once in a while you have one beer, it's no problem. Your body will digest it. It'll be out of your system within 3-5 days. Should be no side effect whatsoever. However, if you start taking a six-pack every day, so basically if I were to inject you cortisone every day for the next 6 months, that would be a problem. So that's when I use that kind of analogy, they can't understand, because, you know, majority of people do like take one beer, two beers. Oh, in fact, they know that. But did he see someone who drinks a whole lot every day? And that, so I tell that. So that's an important thing. The second thing I was use is I also give them alternative. So in my practice, I offer them alternative from steroid. There are some patients are diabetic who have high sugars. There are patients, and again, just are adamant about not having cortisone. And their patients are breastfeeding. They don't want cortisone in their system. I understand that. It's perfectly normal to be worry and be reluctant to have cortisone. So I offer them a natural plant-based, which is Serapin. It's an alternative to steroids. So Serapin is FDA approved for us to inject for pain. So if patients are adamant about not having the cortisone, then I'll just switch it over to a different, to a natural plant-based. So that really puts them at ease a little bit more. And the last thing is I explain the process of the procedure. So basically I tell them, you're going to walk, majority of my patients do not get, in terms of like heavily medicated or anything like that during procedure. The reason was, the procedure is, I think I can do it efficiently. So where I can localize the area really well. So I try to make the ease of it. So I tell the patient, yeah, you're going to be driving into the procedure. You're going to be driving home from the procedure. And, you know, we don't ask you to lay down flat or anything like that for hours and days on end to get the relief. So I try to make it so that they understand the process. So when they leave here, they can anticipate to be walked out of here. Yeah?
I think that's got to be the biggest thing is just educating people. The biggest thing that they're scared of is the unknown, is what they don't know is about to happen. And if you can tell them, you know, step by step what they're about to encounter, what's going to happen, and essentially, you know, not trivialize, but certainly explain away some of the scariness by saying, you're going to drive in, you're going to drive out. You know, you're not going to be down for a week. You're going to be able to go back to your activities, hopefully better than you did before, right away. I mean, that's the goal. I,
I hate to interrupt, but the main point is that you're going to get better. Yeah, the pain is going to make you feel better. And that's the main thing. You can enjoy your quality of life. You can do your stuff you need to do. You can go to chiropractic therapy and, you know, get maximum benefit from that. So all these things, you know, helps. So really bottom line is they're going to benefit from it. That's the main thing too, as well. That's a very important point.
And what you said about taking the time, everybody's busy, but taking the time to actually talk with your patients and answer all of their questions. And I'm sure some of them have a lot of questions, but taking that time, I hear this unfortunately all the time. I'm sure the chiropractors do too, about, oh, you know, I went to this doctor and they were only in the room for 4 minutes. It's like, man, you know, if you're going to tell somebody they need a needle in their back or they need surgery or they need some, you know, from their perspective, pretty extreme interventional medicine, I think the least that they could do is to sit in the room and answer all the person's questions until they feel comfortable. And when you do that, your conversion rate, I have to imagine, is going to be way higher of people who are actually following through with your recommendations and then ultimately getting better. I mean, it's not just, you know, trying to make a buck. It's like, hey, these people are going to feel better if they allow me to do what I do best. And I, you know, I know it in my own line of work. If I sit and take the time to really explain things to people, their satisfaction in the process goes way up. So I think that's got to be huge. Last thing I'm going to ask you about is the future. I want to know what the future of pain management looks like today. I mean, what's on the horizon? What are you excited about? What should the chiropractors be expecting in the years to come?
I think the main thing is PRP now has been really at the forefront. Now we're using a lot more PRP than we were before. And I'm based on my experience, the PRP realm is actually patients are getting a significant amount of benefit from that as well too. And I think the other thing that people have discussed in pain management is also stem cells. And it's a topic that it's still, for me, I haven't used extensively a lot of stem cells, but I think there's a lot of research to be done and there's a lot of promise in that realm that we can do to try to get people to get better in terms of, you know, getting your own body to help yourself get better, to repair itself, the damage and all that stuff. So I think stem cells, there's a lot of excitement about stem cells. And I think there's going to be a lot of, in terms of research that needs to be done. And I think in that future, there's going to be some good news on that end.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've had patients go so far as to go down to Mexico or go to places to try to get stem cell stuff because they, you know, it's not fully fleshed out in this country yet. And I, you know, I'm a skeptic. I don't know where I like to wait until these things are fleshed out and everybody knows what to expect from them. The PRP, I mean, it literally seems to be a miracle that you can take something out of somebody's own body, spin it in centrifuge, stick it back in, and heal themselves. And I've seen it work wonders on people's extremities. I think it sounds like what you're talking about is sort of the next frontier is doing it on in the spine. And that hasn't been as well researched or as well documented, at least as far as I know, than its use in extremities. Is that what you're talking about? Is the next frontier of PRP in spinal usage?
I mean, there's a lot of good paper out now that we can use for spine injection, in particular if it's for joints, which are like facet joint. Well, they're like any joint in your body. Facet joint, we do a lot of PRP, facet joint, that's a spine. We do SI or any joint, because you think about it. PRP started out for, you know, like in the knee, the elbow, the shoulder. So it would make sense. It would help in the back as well if you think the pain generator is the facet joint. So these are joints. So I'm rather than do the what we call radio frequency ablation or burn energy, sometimes I'm offering facet joint PRP, which I've seen a really, really good response to it. To
you
the
have?
PRP.
Yes. You personally have seen it work?
Yeah, well, I do a procedure injection, and I've also been a patient as well, too. So I've been dealing with the left shoulder pain for 8 months now. So I've had it all. I did shockwave therapy. I did chiropractic therapy, shockwave therapy, and believe me, that shockwave therapy is painful. To have that percussion thing against your shoulder, against the bone, it is very, very painful. Yeah. I went through it. It provided some relief. I saw a lot of pain. I had a needle in my shoulder to lavage or break up the calcium in my shoulder, and I was having a lot of pain. So I ended up having three PRP injections in my shoulder. And I feel like 21 right now with my shoulders. All right, 22.
You're like a walking billboard for PRP.
I should try for baseball or something. Yeah, my shoulder's so young right now. You know what I mean? So yeah, but I had 3 PRP injections in my shoulder after all physical therapy, shockwave therapy, Lavage, needling in the tendon, everything, the whole work. And I had 3 PRP injections in my shoulder, and it's been feeling great. What's that commercial? I'm not only a client, but I'm also a patient or something like that. Yeah.
I remember whose
commercial that was.
You are, but you're also a walking testimonial for doing it the right way. Right. I mean, like not rushing right into, I mean, even a pain management doctor who, I mean, you easily could have jumped straight into, you know, getting a PRP injection, it wouldn't have been difficult for you to do that. Right. And but like that's not the right way to go about it. You exhaust all of the conservative measures first, and you work your way up to those things because you want the more conservative things to work. And if they don't, then you move on to that. And even you yourself follow that procedure. It's not just something you sort of, you know, you do for a PI case. It's something you're actively doing, you know, for yourself. But I think that's really something. Doc, thank you so much for being here. I know the time always flies by. I really want to thank you for being here and for taking some time out of your, you know, lunch break to educate us. Give us a little plug. Where can people find you if they want to refer a patient over to your office?
So my main office is in Newport Beach, but we also see patients at Downey, Riverside, and as well as Anaheim. My organization is Pacific Spine and Orthopedics. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome, Doc. If you want a quality pain management doctor, I certainly think you could look no further than Dr. Trin and Pacific Spine. Thanks again for really being here. To anybody who's listening, wants to get a copy of the podcast. Podcast is available anywhere podcasts are. So anywhere you get your podcasts, it's also the video is going to be up on YouTube in a couple of days. And I also want to do a quick plug for our advanced seminar. It's coming up in November. If you want to get tickets to that, check it out on our website, steelizer.com/events. You can get all the information there. Dr. Trin, thank you so much. And again, I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.